Romans chapter 11. And so you heard what's been read already, and I want to ask you a question in starting. Have you ever been separated from a family member in a crowded place? Right? You know, like a train station or an airport, or did you ever lose track of your mom in a shopping mall? Right? Or maybe at a place like the Alva Games, thousands of people on the field, you know, and just lost track. I remember reaching up for my mother's hand and finding someone else is there who wasn't my mother. You know, just like unconsciously, who is that? And then where is she? Where is she? You know, all those bodies in a throng and a big crowd of not the person you're looking for in that moment, Plenty of options, but none of them the right one. You know that feeling? If it's ever happened to you, it strikes you and it affects you. If you've lost track of one of your own kids and they weren't worried about it, but they're off and you think, oh my goodness, I'm responsible for this one. Where are they? You know, that kind of thing. Today we want to look at the deep concern that God has for his chosen people, keeping us safe, to draw us close, to keep us connected when there's a lot going on out there, when there's a busy throng. That's the picture that we want to paint for you in your heart. You can settle into that idea. Now, in Proverbs chapter 8, you read the words written in the voice of wisdom. So it's personified as if wisdom was speaking when you look at Proverbs chapter 8. And it's worth noting that the voice of wisdom personified is a feminine voice. So if you've got God working you through your male chauvinism, there's healing for everyone, right? He's called us male and female in the image of God together, right? So that's important. So note that when God chooses to speak, and it's wisdom speaking in poetry, in Proverbs chapter 8, she says. It's good. Husbands already knew that, so it's not a problem. In Proverbs 8, wisdom calls. She raises her voice on the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads where decisions are made, right? She takes her stand. To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. And the Holy Spirit inspires the human author to write, as if it were wisdom herself speaking, in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate, says wisdom in the Word of God. It's God instructing us. Now, you probably have heard the fear of the Lord is, and what would you say, the beginning of, right? Knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. And fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Do you dislike what is evil as much as God dislikes it? It's an interesting question. What did you watch last night? You know, I'm not vying for my translation, interpretation of what's good and what's evil. But I saw a couple of things in the midst of a movie that I just thought, ugh, I don't like that. God doesn't like that. I might be up past my bedtime, I thought. I shouldn't be watching that. And it happens. So in a Hebrew lexicon, you get this word for perverse. I'll just read what I said in Proverbs again. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance, and the way of evil, and perverted speech I hate. And so, you know, pride, I think we get a handle on arrogance, the way of evil. Anybody here, you know, sacrificing goats off in the woods to the dark lord? No? Good. Okay. But there's other evil that's more subtle. I picked something so you could chuckle, like, yeah, I don't do that. But there's other things. And maybe the way that we live supports evil. You know? And in the past, I've talked about conflict diamonds. We've talked about fair trade and coffee plantations, right? The minerals in your touchscreen cell phone device are the subject of war. So, you know, we think about how am I connected to this? So this word in Hebrew for perverted is tapuka. as if you cared, if you needed to ever say that again, you know, speak one word in Hebrew. And it means winding, obscure, twisted, perverse, corrupt, overthrown. So that's an interesting thing. You ever build a sandcastle and then the wave comes and the first wave kind of, the sandcastle withstands it, but a little bit of it gets washed away at the base, and the next wave that comes, and the next, and then eventually there's no more sandcastle because it's been overthrown. Because a little bit undermined it, and it's wiped away. So this fella Holiday, who has a Hebrew and Aramaic lexicon of the Old Testament, says this word, tapuka, means to turn over on the other side, turned upside down, overthrown again. So there's one little bit of instruction about this word perverted in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. It's translated into Greek in the Septuagint, and so they choose this other word, if you can ever use this again, deastrepho, you know, so great, use it if you can. It means to make crooked, misleading, again, perverse, turn away. So when the keepers of the Hebrew scripture translated it into Greek because Alexander the Great outlawed Hebrew and said, you'll print your books in Greek, thank you very much, Jewish people, they chose this word. And Freeberg, in his analytical Greek lexicon, he says this about the word translated as perverted. He says, literally, it's an object on a potter's wheel become misshapen. Have you seen that? Did you see that movie? Did you ever see the person? And they hold it, and it's straight, and it's straight, and then it wobbles, and what do? Back down to the wheel, okay? Figuratively, to pervert, to corrupt, or to distort. Now, in Acts chapter 13, the word is used, and I want to read you two verses from Acts chapter 13 that use this word. See if you can find it in there. Now, when Paul came to speak to a magistrate, he had next to him this person named Elymas, the magician. That's the meaning of his name. And he opposed them, speaking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. So that word perverted is in there. Now, when I read Proverbs chapter 8 and perverted speech, you know what I thought first? I thought, you know what? Dirty jokes. I knew a kid like that in school. Boy, he could take it to the lowest level like that, you know? When I thought pervert, I thought, you know, people who do unsavory things are perverted, right? I immediately thought of a particular sort of dalliance that we all find despicable because that word, for some reason, it gets used that way more often. But think about the phrase perversion of the course of justice, right? And so here's this guy, and Paul is speaking to the king to tell him about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and this guy's seeking to turn the proconsul away, to turn away. In two verses later, in Acts 13, verse 10, Paul says, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord? Perverted again. Perverting the straight paths of the Lord. So, don't get lost. In a crowd of different ideas competing for your attention, don't wander away following others into their own proud direction, or worse, leading others off into our own self-importance. Or worse, don't get seduced by the allure of the easier way. Don't lapse into a contrary and perverted disposition that steers away from the way God would do things. Can you see all of that? And that's from Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13.